you have any false gods in your life? Would you know one if you did? I'm Rob West. It doesn't have to be a golden calf to qualify as a false god. It could be almost anything, anything that stands between you and Christ. I'll give you some examples today so you can be on the lookout. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, Psalm 20 is one of my favorites. It begins with a blessing and ends with a statement of faith. Here's part of Psalm 20, starting at verse 6. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to His anointed. He answers him from His heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. Back in David's day, chariots and horses were the most powerful military technologies available. If you had those, you could usually expect victory. But the psalm says there's something even more powerful out there, the name of God. In spite of that, some people were still putting their faith in worldly things like chariots and horses. Anything you put your faith in other than the Lord our God is a false god. As Larry Burkett used to say, a false god is anything that detours our commitment to God. You probably won't be trusting in chariots and horses today, but here are a few false gods that you will recognize, along with some modern twists on Psalm 20. Financial security is a false god. Some trust in retirement plans, savings accounts, and investment income, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Government provision can be another false god. Some trust in welfare programs, federal relief checks, or government handouts, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Power is often worshipped as a false god. Some trust in status, reputation, and financial influence, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Personal autonomy is a very deceptive false god. Some trust in themselves alone, depending on their own financial goals and expertise. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. The consequences of trusting in false gods are severe. God is not mocked, the Bible says, and He tells His people over and over not to worship any other gods. We see the most glaring example of this in Exodus 32 as God meets with Moses on Mount Sinai. Verse 1 reads, "When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, 'Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.'" Aaron goes along with their demand and crafts a golden calf, most likely representing a false Egyptian god. It didn't take long for the people of Israel to lose their faith, turn away from the Lord, and begin worshiping idols. The insult to the Lord continues in verses 4 through 6, which read, "They said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord.' And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Now, Aaron may have intended that the sacrifices be made to the one true God, but the Israelites obviously didn't think so, and God certainly wasn't fooled. He tells Moses in verse 9, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them." Of course, Moses pleaded for the people of Israel, and the Lord relented, although some 3,000 of the worst offenders were put to death by the Levites. Now, it's easy to dismiss this biblical lesson, thinking we'd never worship something as ridiculous as a golden calf, but an idol can be anything. It could be your dream house, the shiny new car in your driveway, or your 401k. All of these are potential idols that threaten to replace God in your life. They themselves are not evil, and possessing them is no sin. It's only when we let them come between us and the Lord that they become a real problem. Whatever you face today, whatever decisions you have to make, don't make the mistake of turning to false gods for help. When you're a believer in Christ, you have a much greater resource, the name of the Lord your God. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What does it mean to be successful? Our minds may immediately go to money, career, status, fame. This is what our culture has defined as success. Get these things, you'll find your self-worth, right? Maybe, but not for long. It doesn't last. But the book of Proverbs gives a different idea of success. 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. That is success. Commit yourself to the Lord in everything you do. That is success. Proverbs saying He'll establish your plans. That's because when we commit to the Lord, our plans align with His. Commit to Christ, and He'll give you success, true success that's found in Him. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
If you are engaging in sexual sin, today is the day to repent. As it was corrupt in Judah, let's be honest, the same things are happening today. The pornography addiction amongst the body of Christ is through the roof. And by and large, many in the church are not discussing these things too often because many of the people who are entrusted with the responsibility to do so, they're bound themselves.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
We open today by talking about false gods. How can money occupy a place in your life that is really God's rightful place? Well, it's when money and materialism become our aim. It becomes an end, not a means to an end. It becomes something we're solving for to provide self-worth, and yet it will never do that. It will leave us empty because only God can fill that rightful place in our lives. The challenge is the messages of this culture will lead you down a path that tell you your self-worth is equal to your net worth, that financial means are a reward for godly living. That's just not the case. Instead, we need to pursue contentment toward this idea of finding our identity in Christ. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When we get that right, we understand there's no need for pride or shame or comparison, because our true identity is in Christ. You remember Galatians tells us there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There's no male and female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. So your identity is not about what you do or what you have. It's in Jesus, your hope of glory. And so as we pursue financial decisions today, may we keep that at the forefront of our minds, to renew our minds and remind ourselves that our aim is Christ-likeness. It's to have intimacy with the Father, and then money occupies its rightful place as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. But we also recognize you have daily decisions you need to make as you live and give and owe and grow. And we want to help you with that, applying God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. So give us a call. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to tackle whatever you're thinking about financially. 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by to take your call. Again, 800-525-7000. We can talk about your spending plan in these difficult times. Perhaps it's your investments, your 401k, which is now a 201k, and you're looking to rebuild that. Do you make a change and liquidate some investments, or do you stay the course? Perhaps it's your giving strategy, or maybe paying down debt. You know, we see credit on the rise, notably credit card debt, especially as things are getting tight in the family budget, with the average American family not able to cover a $400 unexpected expense. We are certainly seeing the effects of that play out with credit card debt. Well, how do you pay that back? What does that look like? We'd love to talk about any of that. Plus, your stories and testimonies. How is God at work in your financial life? How have you seen his wisdom through his word in the form of principles play out in what you're experiencing right now? We'd love to hear your testimonies as well. Again, the number to call, 800-525-7000. Our featured scripture verse this week is from Hebrews 13:5, which says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has never said," or excuse me, "because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And that's certainly good news from the word today. As we think about this idea of contentment, I think that's something that just jumps off the page when we look at the counsel of Scripture related to handling God's money. We are to be content. It's an attitude that we need to foster. It's learned. It's also a choice. You know, I can choose to be content in every circumstance, rich or poor, happy or sad, easy or difficult, because as Christ followers, our position in Christ never changes. I also understand that contentment is an attitude. You know, I mentioned Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." When that becomes our focus, then we're able to live with contentment, with peace of mind, because we're not finding our security in the things of this world. We understand that God is our provider. He is Creator God, the owner of everything, and he bestows upon us good gifts. We're then tasked with being found faithful, with managing his resources wisely and obediently over a long period of time. So think about that today. Perhaps pray that God would help you to develop an attitude of contentment, that you wouldn't take the cues from this world, you wouldn't get caught up in the comparison trap, which can be a contentment killer, but that you would focus on what God has given you, not what he's given to others, and see if that doesn't change your perspective today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Well, the IRS is starting to send out refunds for the 2023 tax filing season, and what they're finding is that they're smaller than last year. The average refund so far is a little less than $2,000. That's down about 11% from last year. Now, this isn't a surprise. The agency warned taxpayers that refunds would shrink because stimulus payments and expanded child tax credit payments have ended. By the way, if you don't want to get a big refund from the IRS, and I would encourage you not to, because it really amounts to giving Uncle Sam an interest-free loan, you can make better use of that money by adjusting your withholding by making out a new W-4 form with your employer. You can also also find a tax withholding estimator for free at irs.gov. Now, that W-4 form can sound and look intimidating, but there is actually a helpful set of instructions on the form for you to fill it out. It's not just a matter of your dependents. It's more than that. It's your estimated income from all sources for the year, your what they call combined income, plus your dependents and children, plus several other factors that will help you determine through that form what your withholding should be. You'll then hand that off to your employer, and that will determine how much is withheld from your paycheck. The goal, to get as close to zero on that refund as possible. Now, we don't want to owe anything at the end of the year because you may have penalties and interest on it, but we certainly don't want to be getting a windfall either. I'd rather you get that money into your spending plan so that you can assign a name to it. You can tell it where it's going to cover your bills, but also to create margin so that you have the ability to fund your goals and objectives. What are the things that you want to do longer term? Do you want to save for a down payment on a house? Do you want to increase your giving, your generosity? Are you trying to save for a college education for a child? Maybe it's to replace a car with cash. Well, we're not going to be able to do any of those things without margin, without surplus. So I want as much of that money in your monthly check as possible, because the tendency is, and you may be the exception here, but the tendency is when you get those big tax refunds, well, they find their ways into, big screen TVs and vacations and lifestyle spending. I'd rather you plan intentionally for how that money is going to be used and use it to accomplish your goals that align with your values and your priorities. So perhaps this is the time to revisit your W-4. You can download the form at irs.gov. Again, there's some helpful instructions there. Once you fill it out, and that's just between you and the IRS, just hand it off to your employer and they can adjust your withholding and make sure you're not taking out any more than you need to. All right, we're going to head to our first break here in just a moment, but we'd love to hear from you. The calls are coming in and we've got a few lines open. We'd love to take your question and comment today, maybe your testimony as well about God's faithfulness in your financial life. Or maybe you're having a difficult time right now and you'd love to talk through that. Well, I'd welcome any and all of those conversations. Again, the number to call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, as we head into this break, let me remind you, if you are having difficulty staying on budget, perhaps what you need is a fresh look at your spending plan. Well, the FaithFi app can help you do just that. It's built on the envelope system that was popularized by the late Larry Burkett. It's a modern digital expression of that. You'll find it easy to use, and there's three versions, one that will fit your money personality. You can learn more and download it today at faithfi.com. Just click app. That's faithfi.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
Where are the Old Testament saints today? When will they be resurrected? What about New Testament, tribulation, or millennial saints? I'm Sam Rohr with Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Join me and Dr. Carl Brogy as we engage Revealing God's Unfolding Plan for Bible Saints and feature the fifth in a prophecy series with this focus on saints past, present, and future, when they'll be resurrected, and the role they'll play in the millennial kingdom. Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
Oh, we use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
God owns it all. We're stewards. Money is a tool to accomplish His purposes. And money issues are heart issues. Remember, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So your heart follows your money. The question is, what story does your spending tell about what's most important to you? That's a question you and I need to be asking all the time. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got, looks like, one line open, 800-525-7000 with your financial questions today. We'd love to hear from you. Let's head to Florida. We'll begin with Alberta. Go right ahead. How can I help you?
Yes, good morning to you. I'm calling you to ask a question. How could your credit be sold to a company by the name of Lexus? And what they do is feed into some, I don't know how to get the information, but anyhow, they got a whole bunch of different lies on your credit. And it's not true, it's not accurate. And at least I know it's not because they got...
I'm having a little trouble understanding you, Alberta. There's a collection agency, and what's the name of it?
I don't know how they get your information, but anyhow, they more like sell your information to different programs, like as of and car insurance people, different things to make your score low, come down. And then when you do your research to find out about who Lexus and where to get the information from. You realize that it's a whole bunch of lies. I even have a lawyer to look into it, and he said, Alberta, go to the courthouse to find out what's going on, because they have a lot of things against you.
Okay, let me try to weigh in on this. I'm having difficulty totally making out what you're saying, and I think it's just a bad cell connection. It sounds like what you've got going on here, Alberta, is a debt collector. And there are legitimate debt collectors, and there's a lot of scammers in this space that you need to be very careful in terms of how you approach them. Here's some of the warning signs for debt collection scams. Now, before I share those, though, let me back up. When you have a debt that's past due, oftentimes the original creditor will pass it off to a debt collector to collect that debt or to attempt to collect that debt. In some cases, they're acting on behalf of that original creditor. In some cases, they actually purchase the debt at a discount. It's no longer with the original creditor, and now they own the debt, and they're going to attempt to collect it, and that's their business. The challenge is that in this space is a lot of scamming, and you will read about this if you go to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's website. This is a division of the United States government. There's a lot of information about the challenges in this space. But here's some of the warning signs that you may be seeing. Number one, if they withhold information from you, if they pressure you to pay by money transfer or prepaid card that's untraceable, that's obviously a telltale sign that something is awry. If they falsely threaten you with jail time or
pose as a government official, if they say they're going to tell your family, friends, or an employer, or if you don't recognize the debt. These are, you know, things that you need to be on your guard for. They also will, in some cases, ask for your personal financial information. There's no need for you to ever give out personal financial information over the internet or over the phone with somebody who says that they're trying to collect a debt from you. If they're doing it legitimately, they should already have everything they need. They shouldn't need you to tell them a bank account number, a routing number, or a social security number. Also, they can't call you at inconvenient times. So if they call you before 8 a.m. or after 9 p.m., the law actually prohibits that. So how can you protect yourself? Well, there's a couple of things you can do. Number one, you can ask for a callback number. You can make sure you've been given information about the debt before you pay. You could contact your original creditor and find out whether or not this is a legitimate company that is acting on their behalf or whether it's a scammer. You can also check your credit report just to see if this is a legitimate debt that you in fact owe. And you can understand your rights by reading the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act that really spells out the rules for debt collection. You can also submit a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission at FTC.gov. So hopefully that helps you to determine, first of all, is this a scammer? And second of all, what do you need to do to protect yourself? And listen, we wish you the best. I know this can be challenging and frustrating. So thanks for calling the program today. We appreciate it very much. 800-525-7000. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Valerie. How can we help you?
Good morning. My question is, you were just talking about when you file with your federal filing status. I lost my husband a year ago in January, so this year I'm still having to file with him on for last year. But in my part-time, and I have been filing married but withholding at a higher single rate. Should I be changing that?
Yes, I would. And I'm sorry to hear about your husband's passing. Absolutely. Because what you want to do is make sure that the proper amount is being withheld. You don't want to get a huge tax refund back at the end of the year, just because I'd rather you get that in your budget every month so you can determine where you want it to go as opposed to getting a big windfall. I also don't want you to owe anything at the end of the year. And if you're still filing based on filing jointly, then obviously nothing has changed. But we want to make sure the proper amount is withheld moving forward, so that when you move forward and file as a single taxpayer, that the proper amount is withheld. The W-4 form has instructions on it for you to choose your filing status on a go-forward basis to determine your income. There's an estimator online at irs.gov that will allow you to quickly determine what your combined income is from all sources. And then if you have any dependents like children or other dependents, you'll acknowledge that there. And then once all this information is in there, it will determine for your employer exactly how much needs to be withheld so that you can get as close to zero as possible. But I think anytime we have a major change in our financial life, it's a good idea to update that W-4. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it should be single, and I don't have dependents, so just okay. Leave it as single rate?
Exactly. So you'll just answer all those questions. There's a formula, and it'll walk you through the various steps to input the necessary information, and that will result in telling you exactly what to put on that form that should be given to your employer. So just download the W-4 at irs.gov, and all the instructions will be there. Thanks for your call, Valerie. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
A petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what can it hurt? What can it hurt? What can it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at afa.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is where we gather together each day to talk about how we can apply biblical, transcendent, timeless wisdom. That's not wisdom from me. That's wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices, the things you're thinking about right now in your financial life. Let's do that together. One line open, 800-525-7000. Give us a call. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Danny. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I was going to give a quick testimony. It might encourage someone.
Great.
About how God's blessed me in my finances.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the 70s. I was in high school in the 70s and borrowing money. And we had a civics class. I don't even know if they still have them or not. But they taught us in school to borrow money, establish your credit, and do all this. And I was doing that. And I was borrowing money from four different institutions when I was in high school. I would borrow from one to pay the other one off. And I became a Christian in 1990, and our church did not preach against borrowing money, but I heard two other preachers preach against it and give lots of scriptures, Old and New Testament, and I made a commitment to do that right after 1990, not long after I became a Christian, and it took me about 2 years to get out of debt, and I have been debt-free ever since, and God has blessed me. I believe debt causes people to be sick. It puts them in bondage. And I told my family what I was going to do, and they laughed at me. They said, oh, that's not possible. And it is possible. I'm a testimony. I know what God's done for me. And I just hope this could be an encouragement to someone out there listening to make a commitment to get out of debt.
Oh, that's incredible, Danny. What were the practical steps you took to do that? Obviously, you've limited your lifestyle spending, but what else did you do to really be able to get to a place where you're completely debt-free?
Well, number one, I quit borrowing money.
Yeah.
That was number one. I found good deals, but I wouldn't borrow the money. If I did not have the money, I did not borrow it.
Yeah.
Didn't matter how good a deal it looked like. If it was a good deal, I did not borrow it.
Yep. Yeah, that's great.
And that's
excellent.
Hard to do, because when you see a good deal, you think, man, that's a good deal. I need to get it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's simple, you know.
Found,
go ahead.
Yeah, I've since found when you have cash, you can buy stuff so cheap. I bought some property for a third of the price. I just offered them what money I had, and the real estate said, well, they might take it if you got cash. And it amazed me. I mean, you can find good deals when you have cash. And like I said, your mind is easy. And I was blessed by God when I was in debt. I was always able to make my payments.
Yes.
But
yes,
it was still stressful.
Yeah. Well, Danny, I appreciate your testimony today. There's no doubt that God's word is clear. There, borrowing is not a sin, but there are absolutely warnings in the Old and New Testament about borrowing. It puts us in a position of servitude. You know, it says the borrower's the lender's slave. That changes the relationship. We know there's economic implications, not only the compounding of the debt that grows over time, so we're spending a lot of money on interest, but just the opportunity cost. I mean, the reality is when we allocate our money for a debt payment, that's money that's not available for something else that's going to accomplish our longer-term goals and objectives. There's also spiritual implications in terms of debt. Debt is often symptomatic of a heart issue. There's also psychological implications. It causes stress and tension and can have a negative impact on our closest relationships, particularly a marriage relationship. So we have to be very careful. Your point is very well taken. I think pursuing a life where we're completely debt-free is a hallmark of the freedom that comes when we heed the counsel of Scripture in our financial lives. Thank you for that testimony today, Danny. God bless you, my friend. 800-525-7000 is the number to call to Texas. Hey, John, go right ahead, sir.
Good morning. I appreciate you taking the call. I have a son who is a pastor with the North American Mission Board.
Yeah.
And he all been hit with some major expenses, and I have some problems, some property that I'd like to sell, but I hate to pay the capital gains tax.
Yes.
Is there any way? I've looked at revocable trust. I've looked at establishing a foundation, but that's pretty involved. I don't know what to do.
Yes. Yeah, well, there's a couple of thoughts I have. I mean, number one is this just a rental property or a piece of land you have? What is it?
It's a piece of land.
Okay, all right. And what is the hardship that's going on in your son's life?
Well, he has a son that begins medical school this year.
Got it.
And his daughter is getting married this year.
Okay, yeah. So those two things on top of each other, I could understand, especially as a pastor, that can be financially difficult. I certainly get that. You know, the only way to kind of kick that can down the road would be what's called a 1031 exchange, where you're pushing it into another piece of property. That's not going to give you the liquidity event you're looking for. The second option would be if you wanted to be charitable with it, but it'd have to go to a nonprofit, not to as a gift to your son. You could give it to a donor advised fund prior to the sale, you know, but that's not going to work because you need the money. And as soon as you give it, you know, to a donor advised fund, now you have to give it to a charity, a nonprofit. So you'll likely have to go ahead and pay that capital gains. If you have taxable income of $90,000 to $500,000, that's going to be at 15%. If your income is less than that, are you married filing jointly?
Yes.
Okay. So for 2023, the capital gains rate, if your income is less than $89,000, that capital gain would be at zero. But if it's between $89,000 and $553,000, you're going to have a 15% long-term capital gain rate on the gain. So you'd take the selling price minus the cost basis on that, and that would be your gain, and then you'd have a 15% tax rate on it. So you'd set that aside, and then the rest would be able to be given as a gift up to $17,000. If you go above $17,000, there's not any tax on it, on that gift. You would just take it off of your lifetime exemption, which is today over $12 million.
That $12 million wouldn't be a problem.
You're probably not going to hit that anytime soon, I wouldn't think, huh?
No, I'm 77 years old.
Okay. Well, John, I think this is a wonderful thought that you have here to bless your son. I'm sorry I didn't have a way for you to avoid that capital gains. Good news is you got a profit, and the capital gains rate, again, if your income is over $89,000, you'll only be paying 15%, and then the rest could be given away without any trouble. We appreciate your call today, sir. God bless you very much. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to be heading to Iowa to talk to John, and then Zachary's in Ohio. Rip's in Louisiana as well, but lines open for your question today, 800-525-7000. Before we head to the break, let me tackle an email. We receive emails all the time at askrob@faithfi.com. That's askrob@faithfi.com. This one is coming to us from a concerned mother. She says, my son needs help with paying back credit cards and loans. Is there a free service to help? And there is a great service that I recommend for credit cards. If you have more than $4,000 in credit card debt, I'd contact my friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They're going to be able to get the interest rates reduced, and you'll have one level monthly payment that fits into your budget. And as that balance comes down with those lower rates, that level payment is going to provide a snowball effect that'll help you get out of debt 80% faster. ChristianCreditCounselors.org. We'll be right back with your questions after this. Stay with us.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today, because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program. God's blessings to you all.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got a few lines open here in our final segment, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Iowa. Hi, John. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Hey, my question is, I'm contemplating changing financial advisors. I went to in-service with one time, and I really liked them, and they seemed Christian-based. And my advisor right now charges me 1.35% for assets under management.
Yeah.
And the new one charges only 1%.
Yeah.
My question is it worth the 0.35% long term? And then if I do change, do I get charged fees for that? Is there capital gains from the first one to the second one? Can you explain that process to me a little bit?
I'd be delighted to, John. You know, I think the most important thing is that you're with an advisor that matches your values. And it sounds like that certainly would be the case with the
the new advisor. Perhaps it is or it isn't with the current one. I don't know if you mentioned that, but I think that's key. I think that they have the experience and the competency, of course, that you're looking for, that they are going to communicate with you the way you want, you know, with the regularity you're looking for, with the method, you know, whether it's a Zoom call or an in-person meeting. And, you know, you want to know who in the firm is going to be handling your account. You know, so you might meet with somebody, but are they going to hand it off to somebody else? Because, you know, most of the clients in the firm have much, you know, more in the way of assets than yours. And so, you know, you're going to be working with somebody different. I mean, all of these things, I think, go into you deciding who that right advisor is for you, both with regard to the planning side as well as the investment management. Now, 1.35 versus 1. 1.35 isn't unusual. It's still normal and customary. Obviously, if you could save 35 basis points a year, you know, over the next, you know, a couple of decades, I mean, that's not insignificant, but that wouldn't be the primary driver for me to make a change. I'd rather you decide who is the right advisor for you, that you feel comfortable with, that he's going to give you peace of mind, that, again, is going to kind of check all those boxes that I mentioned. That's more important to me than you saving 35 basis points. In terms of the capital gains, is this taxable money, or are we talking about money inside retirement accounts?
Yeah, I've got some 403B money there, but I also have some in a taxable account as well.
Okay. So obviously, any kind of change that's made when the taxable account with regard to the investment holdings will generate taxable events. The good news is you could do some tax loss harvesting during a season like we're in right now with the market down. If you're a new advisor, after working with you to work through your financial plan and develop your investment strategy and risk tolerance, and then they're ready to start deploying that and making some changes, obviously there's a way to do that that's tax efficient, where they'd sell, you know, certain holdings at a loss to offset the gains. And, you know, they can be tax efficient while they're repositioning. And I wouldn't let the tax tail wag the dog, in the sense that I want you to get to the right investment holdings that are the right things moving forward, more so than just, you know, you holding something because you don't want to create a taxable event. But your advisor would be very skilled at navigating that for you. As to any cost to make the change, there shouldn't be any. There may be a very small fee, maybe even around $50 or so, for you just to transfer those monies, those funds out through the ACAT system. It'll go back office to the new advisor's custodian, but there really shouldn't be anything in the way of fees that you have to worry about. So I think the key for you now is, who is that right advisor for you moving forward that's really going to be able to serve you well and that you feel really good about, understands you, does a lot of discovery, isn't taking a cookie cutter approach, hopefully who's a fiduciary, you know, by putting your interests above anything else. And I think that's really the primary driver. And that's why we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, just because these are men and women who've met high standards and character and competence and pastor reference and client references. And they've been trained to bring a biblical worldview of money management, but also they have significant experience and credentials, not to mention a regulatory review. So you may want to look at one or two Certified Kingdom Advisors as a part of your search, and you could find some in your area at faithfi.com. But does that answer your questions, John?
Yeah, that helps me a lot. It's more than just money. It's the Christian part about it, and that's how you are, and I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yes, sir, John. Thanks for calling. To Ohio, hey, Zachary, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, Rob. How you doing today?
Doing great.
I'll let you know I love you and your listeners also.
Well, thanks.
And that God's love for us is deeper than what we'll ever know.
Yes.
The main reason I was calling was I didn't really have a question,
okay,
but I just wanted to comfort the woman who called in earlier about her husband passing away. Mm. My comforting words I'd like to share with the listeners, because my mom just passed away recently.
Oh, wow.
This is for anyone who lost a loved one. Whenever someone loses their husband or wife, it's very important to, we kind of forget about it sometimes, that the sacrifices that Jesus made. Jesus never had a wife. And, you know, so whenever we lose someone, we need to really think deeply about that, that at least we need to thank God that we did have that time with that person that he did get, that mm-hmm. we did have with them.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I appreciate that, Zachary. That's a good word. You obviously have the gift of encouragement. God has used that today, and I know that's a word likely that somebody needed to hear today. So we appreciate you taking the time in, using your gift today to encourage and edify the body. And, you know, that's part of our role, is to recognize the gifts God has given us and use those for His glory and to build up the body of Christ. So thank you, my friend, for calling in and for that word of encouragement today. Call back anytime. God bless you. To Louisiana, hey, Rip, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, good. Excuse me. Good morning. Do all banks have a amortization program, or where you can pay off your loan earlier?
Yeah. So you can always, unless there's a prepayment penalty, which we don't typically find anymore, you absolutely have the ability to prepay that mortgage. And that's always a good idea, Rip, because whenever we pay down principal, and that's what's going to happen whenever you send anything above your scheduled amortized monthly payment, then that's money we're not paying amortized interest on for the balance for the life of the loan, which is, you know, going to be helpful to get us to reduce that more quickly. So what I would target is, at a minimum, try to pay one extra payment a year. Some people do that through what they call the biweekly payment, where they send a half a payment every 2 weeks. Well, when you do that, there's 26 two-week periods in a year, so you end up with 13 full payments, one extra than if you just pay your scheduled monthly payment. That's one way to do it that just kind of softens the blow, if you will, you know, in terms of your budget. But, you know, other folks just live below their means and they've got their emergency fund funded and they don't have any other short-term needs and they don't have any credit card debt, so they take a portion of their surplus and just redirect that to accelerating their mortgage payoff. So it's a great idea to do, and unless you have a prepayment penalty, every amortized loan will allow you to do that.
All right. I thank you. Look, there's two words I like to hear you say. That is Larry Burkett. That's the one that got me to listening to Christian radio. I'd turn and wow. If he was buying a lawnmower or a tractor, it didn't matter. He could tell you how to do it.
It was
amazing.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. You know, Larry's kind heart, his wisdom, just his grace on how he dealt with callers. It's amazing to me, Rip, that there's not a week that goes by. Larry died in 2003. There's not a week that goes by on this program that somebody doesn't mention the late Larry Burkett. And that just shows you the impact that God allowed him to have and continues to allow him to have through what he did on the radio every day, through Money Matters, through all of his books and the incredible ministry of Christian Financial Concepts. So I appreciate you calling that out. I'm going to be next week with at the Kingdom Advisors Conference with 2,000 financial advisors, and I'm going to have the opportunity to stand on the stage and give away the award we recognize every year called the Larry Burkett Award. And we give that to a financial professional who embodies what Larry has done. It's the highest award we give at Kingdom Advisors each year, and it's just a testimony to the amazing impact that Larry had and continues to have in people's lives. So, Rip, thank you for calling that out today, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care. Juan, quickly in Florida, how can I help you? Just a minute left.
I wanted to ask you, what are the advantages when you're married to file jointly and not separate? I'm retired. I have $20,000 in Social Security, $35,000 in a pension, and my wife is working. She's a nurse. She makes about $90,000. Would it be better to do separate or jointly?
Yeah, probably joint. You could check with a CPA to determine this. In the vast majority of cases, Juan, it's best for a married couple to file jointly. The cases where it can make sense to file separately is if there's a big disparity in their incomes and the lower paid spouse is eligible for substantial itemized deductions.
But if you're taking the standard deduction, you're generally going to be benefited by married filing jointly for a number of reasons. There are some disadvantages to filing a separate return. You're disqualified from several tax credits and benefits available to those married filing jointly. You're going to be limited to a smaller IRA contribution deduction. I mean, there's a number of reasons not to. So I would check with your CPA to see if it applies to you, to married filing separately. But in most cases, filing jointly is going to be the best way to go. Thanks for your call, Juan. God bless you, my friend. That's going to do it for us. On behalf of my team, Robert Sutherland, providing great research today, our engineer and producer, Devin Patrick, and the amazing Pat Montague handling our phones today, I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. So grateful for AFA and AFR and the great culture transforming work that they do. We're privileged to be partner with them to bring you this program each day. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.